Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17, the Word of God said, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." I woke up with this on my heart Monday morning, and I haven't been able to get it off my heart since. I know there are times, as Brother Don preached, that people lose the axe head. But I believe there are also times in the believer's life when we get dull. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while on the subject, iron sharpeneth iron. I appreciate you tonight. Father, thank you tonight for our people. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would make the message, our Lord, a blessing to our hearers tonight. Help us all, our Father, tonight to just glean something, Lord, that would help us in our Christian life. Lord, I pray tonight that the Word of God would not just be heard, but it would be received. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd speak to all of our hearts and help us, Lord. We'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you all are aware that back in the days when the Bible was written, they didn't have things called, you know, a grinder, electricity, and things of that nature. When it came time to sharpen something, it was something that really took some time. And the Bible said, "Iron sharpeneth iron." Tonight I brought some things to use for an illustration. I'll be doing some different things throughout the message tonight. But just for the sake of getting started here tonight, this is just a pocket knife. And this is a rod that Miss Eve carries in her kitchen. And used to, until, what, Miss Eve, maybe a year ago, two or three times a year, I'd be sitting there and she'd say, "Here," and she'd lay four or five knives over there on the table beside them and say, "Sharpen my knives, would you?" And so I would take the time and sharpen her knives. I taught her how to sharpen the knives, and she's been doing it herself for quite a while now and doing a good job with it. But this is steel in this blade, and this is steel. And if you do it correctly, this right here will get to where it will actually shave you. It'll actually, you can just go like that and cut the hair off of your arm. That's really when I know a knife is right. If I have a piece of paper close to me, I'll illustrate that later. But if I have a piece of paper close, you can pick it up sometimes and just, you can just, when you do that right there, and it just glides through it, you know the knife is sharp. I told my wife, this particular knife right here, it's kind of been a favorite of mine. But Brother Larry, I told my wife, I said, if you put a new blade, this knife here, you can actually replace the blade. And if you put a new blade in that thing and you reach up in a deer's chest cavity to field dress it, and you feel that blade touch you on the other hand, you have to have both hands in there to do it, you're cut. It's that sharp. I mean, if you feel it touch you, you're cut. You've got a cut on you. That's all there is to it. The Bible said that iron sharpeneth iron. And the Bible didn't just quit there. It's talking about the importance, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Brother Don touched on this Sunday night, the importance of getting together. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me stop and make a statement tonight. I would hate to think that I am living my Christian life in such a way that being in contact with others, Brother Grizzle, is making them duller instead of sharper. God's talking about us fellowshipping one with another. It's talking about sharpening each other. And I think as I come across the road, the Bible talks about a friend, but there is another friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And I believe as we spend time with him and fellowship with him, again, iron sharpeneth iron. I want to give you some things. The Hebrew word is pronounced kaldad, and it means just to make sharp, or in a figurative sense, severe, to be fierce, to sharpen. You know, tonight, it's not always a pleasant thing when God is trying to sharpen us. There are some people, listen to me carefully, when God's man, or whether it's a husband or a wife or a friend, delivers a message to them that's not pleasant to the ear, there's some people that get upset and get mad, so to speak, about that. But a wise man will take reproof. A wise man will take rebuke. A wise man will take correction. And someone said this to me years ago. It said, listen, when somebody's saying things about you, said 95% of it may be false, but you ought to listen closely for the 5% that's true. And let that, what the criticism, so to speak, let that be a help to you and sharpen you in that area of your life. I'll give you how the Lord's give it to me tonight. First of all, there's a need for sharpening. When something has lost its edge, I remember my dad. Son, let me borrow your knife. I'd hand him a knife, Brother Ralph. My dad'd get it out. He's trying to cut baling twine. Like that. He'd finally get it cut, Brother Larry, and hand it back to me and say, don't bruise yourself, son. In other words, it was that dull. Amen. Lots of times because we had been taking our knife and we didn't have the correct electrical tools. You know, you got strippers to strip wire with and everything. So lots of times we had been stripping wire with our knife in order to hook up the wire and things like that. But if you, listen, this is a blessing tonight. Some people might say, well, listen, you have no business getting dull. Let me just say this. This knife will never get dull unless you use it. If God's using you tonight, beloved, listen, and God's using me tonight, there's a good chance that somewhere along the way we're going to lose that edge that we once had in the spiritual realm. How many believes that tonight? Iron sharpeneth iron. And so there's a need for sharpening. The mower blades get dull. A drill bit gets dull. Your knife gets dull. I wish Brother John was here tonight. He could picture this in his mind. How many of you all remember skill saw blades before there was carbide teeth on them? How many remembers that? A skill saw blade before there was carbide teeth. Brother Gary, if I never move from where I'm standing on Saturday, Dad, you remember the flat paddle bits? We didn't have the money to go buy a new one every time one got dull. The paddle bit where you would drill for your wires and your pipe through the studs, he'd get his file and he'd set that thing up there in the vise and lock it down. He'd take that file and he'd sharpen both sides of that. When Monday morning come and you needed to cut a hole in a 2x4, it was easy because somebody had taken the time. My father actually took the time, I'm telling you, with skill saw blades to take that file and file those teeth. And then put a little set in them, Brother Larry. You have to put one way and one the other way. If you don't, it just binds. After a while, it just gets to where the teeth are in line. And it'll bind going through a 2x6 or a 2x4. And so, none of that would have ever been necessary had those tools not being used. They were used. Sometimes, beloved, listen. How many can relate to this? You're going through something with a saw, and all of a sudden you hear something that don't sound just right, and you see sparks. There's a nail hidden in the wood. You know, nowadays it would probably be a screw most of the time. But back then we didn't even know what a screw was when we were working with wood. There's a nail or there's something. Listen, sometimes wood could just get thrown down in the mud, so to speak, or in the dirt. And if you're sawing logs with a chainsaw, it pays to take the time to clean that mud off, because it ain't, you can saw one cut about halfway through the next cut, and that chain is so dull, it's smoking if you don't get that grit out of the way. And so tonight there's a need. Paul said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul wanted his life to be sharp. Miss Eve told me the other day, the lawnmower, the push mower. She uses the push mower. He said, preacher, would you do that to her? No, she did that to her. She can ride the mower anytime she wants to. You know the problem? She don't want to. She doesn't like a riding mower. She'd rather push the mower and do the little trim work and the little backyard and the things of that nature. She'd rather do that to help me. But she said, honey, they're dull. How did she know that? It was just beating the grass off instead of cutting it. And it leaves it looking ragged. Say amen. Can you all that mow, can you tell when the blades get dull? What gets dull? What gets them dull? Using it. Getting over an edge of the driveway and it picks up a rock. Or scalping the ground. There's a hump in the ground. You're mowing along and you scalp the ground somewhere with it. And so there's a need. Dull. The Bible said in Matthew 13:15, it's repeated in Acts 28, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and should heal them. I believe sometimes, listen to me carefully, a preacher or a pastor can preach one of those messages, beloved, listen, that'll cut you coming and going. You say, pastor, how do you know that? I've been cut coming and going. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. God is my witness. Never one time have I got mad at the man of God. Because what was happening, iron was in the pulpit trying to sharpen the iron that was out there in the pew. Iron sharpeneth iron. Hebrews said, 5:11, of whom I have many things to say to you, hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, become of such need of milk, not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, if we're not sharp, then we will be deceived. Paul said it, let no man deceive you. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Word of God said, be not hearers of the Word only, but doers of the Word, because when we're only hearing, we're deceiving our own selves. And so there are times when we get dull. God's people get dull. The Word of God said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope with meekness and fear, the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. You say, now, pastor, what does that have to do with what you just read about being dull of hearing? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me, pastor included. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what we're going to find out? There were times when the blessed Holy Spirit was whispering in our ear and we were dull of hearing. We didn't hear what He was trying to say to us. Am I right or am I wrong? And so the Word of God is teaching us here. There are times, beloved, listen, that we need to be sharpened. He said, now, pastor, I never need to be sharpened. Don't tell anybody. Amen? Don't tell anybody. We do. We need to be sharpened. I see some things here, and let me go through them. things that God has put on my heart when you're talking about iron, sharpening iron. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Watch this now. First of all, there's a need to get together. I can be right here tonight and I can do this all day long. Is that knife ever going to get sharp? But you can bring it over here and put them together. I say it ain't no wonder. Our blessed Lord said, where two or three are gathered together. Glory to God. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. Brother Houston, he's trying to sharpen us. He's trying to help us. There's a wicked world out there that we live in. And we need to be sharpened for the glory of God. The Bible said two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. I would to God every one of God's children understood the importance of the church house. The importance of getting together. It's not the only thing in the world, but I tell you, beloved, listen to me carefully. I'm going to use the word. It is essential to the children of God. It's not something we can take it or leave it. It's something that we need. The Bible said, if they fall, they'll lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I've said for years, there'll be days that I'll come in this building, lower in a snake's belly, and somebody will say something, and it'll lift you up. I've come to this pulpit like that, and God saved somebody. And it just puts a charge in your battery. Go on, preacher. Go on. Be a time I'll come in low. Someone lifts me up. There'll be a time you'll come in low. Perhaps pastor, perhaps a Sunday school teacher. How many's ever come to Brother Brian's Sunday school class pretty low on a Sunday morning? He tells a story or two and begins to make application in the Word of God. And it lifted you up. I tell you, it always lifted me up just to see him coming. A lot of men in his condition would have given up. But he still wanted to be part of lifting somebody else up for the glory of God. There's a need to get together. I want to say this tonight. The Bible said here, but if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I love the Word of God. There's a need to get together in this sharpening industry. And then another thing tonight, not only the need for sharpening, but the speed. It's important. I understand tonight that many may not know what I'm about to say. But if you're going to sharpen a drill bit, you can't just cram it in a grinder till it turns red. You got to have your little cup of water there. You got to grind a little and cool it. Grind a little and cool it. There's an art to sharpening drill bits. I mean that. How many of you guys got a good pocket knife in your pocket tonight? You got a good one? Is it sharp, brother? Will it shave you? It already did. Amen. 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 Brother Gary, you got a good pocket knife in your pocket tonight. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But if you came up here tonight and it wasn't sharp, and you said, Pastor, can you sharpen this knife for me? And I said, well, sure, Brother Gary. And I broke out a 6-inch grinder. I'll promise you this, Faster than he come this way, that knife will be in his pocket and he's going back that way. Why? Because a 6-inch grinder would turn that knife blade red in a heartbeat. Let me just say this to you tonight. And once you turn it red, it's lost its temper. What that means, the steel is tempered. And once it loses its temper, I'm not saying you can't ever get it sharp again, because you can. But I promise you this, you'll not keep it sharp. It will dull so easily because now the steel is soft. They measure the hardness in Rockwell hardness, but now it's lost that Rockwell hardness and it's soft. So we look at the speed. You can't get it too hot. It'll lose its ability to hold an edge. Back there in the Bible days, I read this, the iron cutting tools, they were made bright, they were made sharp and fit for use by rubbing them against the file or some other iron. Listen to me carefully. Listen, this is important. Beloved, it didn't happen real fast like that right there. It took time. Every pastor needs to realize, every mom, every dad needs to realize, listen, yes, God wants to use our lie to help sharpen somebody else's lie, but many times it takes more time than we're willing to give. It takes time. I actually looked into a knife sharpener. I'm not going to call the name of it. I wouldn't be sure of it. I think I know what it's called. But it's got a little belt on it and different grits on the belt. But I read the reviews. I mean to tell you, beloved, listen, if you weren't careful, you didn't have a knife left to sharpen on. After just imagine, listen, I talked about a grinder. Just imagine taking a belt sander to a knife. Y'all know what a belt sander is? So the way you're looking at me, I don't know. But anyway, it's important tonight to understand that it takes time. It doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen overnight. The cutting tools are made bright, so a man who, being alone and sad, dull, inactive, by the company and conversation of his friend, is greatly refreshed. His wits are sharpened. His spirit revived. He is both fitted for and provoked to action. The Bible's talking about the countenance. Iron sharpeneth iron. Especially in the ancient world, it took time. This little hone right here is what they call a diamond hone. This one's actually about wore out. I mean, it's just about slick. But when you get close to that razor edge, then it's time for this one right here. It'll finish it up. I talked about getting together. For years, I didn't know this. There's something important about sharpening. Is everybody listening to me? You got to go in the right direction. For years, I didn't think it mattered. You want to go on the stone just like you're shaving a small, thin slice off of it. Just like you're just taking a little slice off. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Beloved, we cannot sharpen one another's countenance if one of us is going in the wrong direction. We need to get in that yoke with Jesus and pull with Him. He's going in the right direction. Let me tell you this, He's going at the right speed. Ain't that right? And so, you take that there. For years, I did not know that. It just seems to me like, what a way to dull a knife. It looks to me like, oh no, no, no. When that edge comes up on that knife, I'm telling you, it's a razor edge. I think that Listen to me carefully. I think this right here pictures something. And I'm gonna do it with this knife, even though I like this knife. I think it pictures something in the church, Brother Grizzle. You see, not only do we need to be going in the right direction, but we need to be going at the right angle. Is this going to sharpen the knife? Is that going to sharpen the knife? What's that doing to the knife? It's dulling it. You say, Pastor, I don't know how you can make application with that. I want you to think about something. The right direction is important, but so is the right angle. You know what I believe? I made a few notes here so I could try to picture this for you, that maybe you can take it away from here. First of all, there's the importance of using the right tool. We can use the grinder to sharpen the mower blade, but you don't use the grinder to sharpen a knife. You can use a bench grinder. That's the ideal thing, to sharpen a drill bit. But you would be a year and a day trying to sharpen a drill bit with either one of these. So it's important to use the right tool when you're trying to sharpen. And you say, Pastor, how does that apply to us? The Word of God is always the right tool. If the Word of God, I've heard this said and it's worth saying again, if the Word of God won't get the job done, then the job ain't going to get done. And so God will use the Word of God. He always uses the right tool to sharpen us. But there's the importance of the right angle. You say, Pastor, what are you going to say about that? Listen to me carefully. How many understands when the Bible said speaking the truth? Tell me the next two words. Tell me the next two words. Help me. In love. Did y'all hear that over there? Speaking the truth in love. Brother Grizzle, it's one thing to preach the truth in the Spirit. That's the right angle. Preach the truth in love. That's helping to sharpen. Moms and dads, it's important. There are going to be times when those children have to be corrected. But it's very important that the angle's right. You can tell them the truth this way. How many understands the illustration now? A man of God can stand in a pulpit, and this is what I call it, and I know you'll recognize it, and preach in the flesh. He's preaching the truth, Brother Ralph, but the angle's wrong. People are not leaving sharper. They're leaving dull because the angle was wrong. The direction might have even been right. The Word of God, preaching the truth. But if it's not preached in love, I want to tell you something right now. Listen to me. God is my witness. My wife will tell you. Anybody that really knows me will tell you. When God lays one of those messages on my heart, Brother Rose, I dread it. I do not look forward to going to that pulpit and knowing that my Heavenly Father is going to bust hide. He said, Pastor, what's the matter with you? I promise you this. When I go to that pulpit and God's got a message that busts hide, it's already busted mine. I wouldn't give you a dime for a man that'll preach something and expect his people to eat it. And he won't eat it himself. The direction is important. The angle is important. I don't use a lot of illustrations when I'm preaching, but I hope you won't forget this tonight. Iron sharpeneth iron. Well, let me get in the bag here. Anybody know what this is? Who knows what that is? It's honing oil. I tell you, when this process gets real good, Brother Larry, it's when the Holy Ghost gets in it. You like that, don't you, Brother Ralph? You let the oil get in there. And you know what's going to happen? Sister Helen's going to kill the pastor because a drop just fell on the carpet. I better sharpen till Jesus comes. Just a few drops of oil can make all the difference in the world. And how the truth is received. That man of God stood in that pulpit Sunday night and he made a statement. He said, "You'll find that axe head right where you lost it." How many remembers that statement? How many had a time in your life pop up right there? You say, "Pastor, why is it that you got to go back to that place?" Because when you go back to that place and admit it, right here's where I lost it. Right here's where I lost my edge. You know what it takes to do that? It takes humility. It takes honesty. And you know what God's going to do? When a person humbles himself, when a person is honest with God, He's going to help that person. He's going to sharpen that person. I believe with all of my heart that is important. I want to give you something tonight. We're not going to turn there. I'm running out of time. I got a little bit more ground to cover. But I want to give you something tonight. How many remembers the seven churches in Asia? I can't name them all. Some of them was Ephesus, Philadelphia, Pergamos, Smyrna, Laodicea. Help me some. Thyatira. There's one more. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm surprised I remembered that many of them. Sardis. Thank you, Sister Cindy, for giving me that last one. Amen. Amen. Brother Grizzle, when Jesus got done speaking to every one of them churches, here's how he finished it up. "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Remember that oil? What the Spirit saith unto the churches. On any given Sunday, any given service, you've got people that are going to hear. They have that ear tuned. They're going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. It's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing the difference that the Holy Ghost of God makes. You can preach the same message to 100 people, and at 100 different places in the message, God spoke to somebody's heart that was not dull of hearing, that was hearing what the Spirit of God said to them. Years ago, I was preaching at Liberty Baptist Church, Church Hill, and Brother Larry, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I dare say you have. I preached the message and I left that morning with my tail tucked between my legs. I just felt like I was the biggest failure that ever walked in shoe leather. But God was teaching me something. A few weeks went by and a couple came into my office. Actually, before church, they said, "Pastor, we need to talk to you after church." Oh boy, let me just go ahead and throw this out there. If that's ever the case with you, please wait till after church. Amen. Let me preach the message I got on my heart and then we'll go there. And if you can, wait till Sunday night after church. So we went in the office. Normally, and I am not joking, even back then, my mind was a lot sharper than it is now. But even back then, normally, the message that's on my heart is not the last one, it's the next one. So I'm already looking ahead. So somebody said to me, "What'd you preach last Sunday? What'd you preach 2 weeks ago? Are you kidding me?" I'm serious. This couple looked at me and said, Pastor, do you remember preaching this message? And I remembered well. Why? Because that's the one. What a bomb. I felt such a failure. And the man of the house, he said, Pastor, God used that message to spare our marriage. He said, we had already talked on Saturday night, even finishing up on the way to church on Sunday morning, how we was going to divide it up. We was going our different ways. And they're still together today. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Same direction. Get the oil. Get the right angle. Yes, there may be times as a parent when we feel like we have failed miserably. You let the Holy Ghost get involved. And beloved, He can help. I want you to think about a couple of things quickly. Some examples of iron sharpening iron. How many remembers when David sinned with Bathsheba? 2 Samuel chapter 11. How many remembers that? How many remembers what took place in 2 Samuel chapter 12? That's when Nathan, you remember? He came to David, told him the story about a traveler that came by. One man had a little sheep. It was a pet. It ate with him. It slept with him. Another man, he had all kinds of sheep. And they killed that poor man's lamb. David reared up and he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Look at it. Right angle. The oil. Right speed. The man of God looked at David and said, thou art the man. You say, Pastor, how do you know it was the right angle? I'll tell you how I know. David repented. David got right with God. David did not get mad at Nathan. David got right with God. I personally believe it was a relief. Anytime you've got something buried that needs to be uncovered and dealt with, beloved, it's a relief to get it over with. Get it out before God. And so, iron that day sharpened iron. I'm not going to read all the text. I'd like to take the time, but how many of you remember when there was contention in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas were together and Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, no way. I'm paraphrasing. He left us one time before. He went back. I looked it up. He went back to Jerusalem. He didn't go back into sin, but Paul was upset because he did not go with them to the work. He went back to Jerusalem. So what happened? What happened? Barnabas. Paul took Silas. And Barnabas took John Mark. She said, Pastor, how do you know iron was sharpening iron? I wonder, Sister Danita, if somewhere down through there Paul didn't think, I didn't handle that just right. He is a good man. He made a mistake. I could have done different. I wonder if John Mark, somewhere down the road with Barnabas, wasn't thinking something like this. You know, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have left them old boys like that. I should have went with them to the work. My point is this. Iron was sharpening iron. Not always pleasant. Sometimes there's sparks. Help me. Watch this though. Paul's getting ready to die. Remember? 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time of my departure is at hand. You remember that? Who'd he send for? Who'd he send for, Brother Gary? He sent for John Mark, didn't he? You know what he said? He's profitable to me for the ministry. What are you trying to say? Just because somebody's dull today don't mean they have to be dull the rest of their life. God can use you. He can use me. Iron sharpeneth iron. Am I right or am I wrong? God gives us examples in the Word of God. I believe it's important to think about them. One more example tonight. Miss Eve, I think my son-in-law got this for me. Look at that. Look at that, Michael. That looks like something Bob would have bought, don't it? Watch this. That's a pretty good illustration. Oh, I ran out of blade. How many of y'all have ever done that right there with a knife? Would you raise your hand if you've done that to check the sharpness on the knife? How many's ever got just kind of right down about middle ways or so, maybe two-thirds, maybe a third, and it stopped? There was a nick in the blade. How many's ever done that? How many's ever found out that the blade was a lot sharper back here at the back than it was out there on the front? So the front needed more work. I'm going somewhere with this. Guess who knows where the nicks are in our blade? Somebody help me. Guess who knows where the nicks are? Guess who knows where the dull places are? The precious Spirit of the living God. One more example and I'm done. Not this way, Bible example. I got to get this thing closed up. It'll cut you. Watch this now. How many remembers the story of Joseph? His brethren have sold him into slavery. He's bought for a slave. He goes down to Potiphar's house. He's falsely accused. He ends up in prison. He ends up interpreting the dream of Pharaoh. He's next to Pharaoh in Egypt. His brethren get hungry. There's a famine. So Brother Preston, they come to Egypt. There's something going on right here. Now listen to me carefully. I believe they kind of were a little bit rattled on the way down there when they found out that Joseph was Joseph, the one they had been jealous of, the one that they had sold out. But I'm going to tell you when they got real nervous. Read your Bible. Genesis chapter 50, when their daddy died. How many remembers the story? They're talking among themselves. And they just knew, Brother Rose, we've had it, boys. Look where he is, and look where we are. But it didn't happen, Brother Larry. Do you remember? He said, am I in the place of God? He said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive this day. Here's my point. You know what was happening right there, Brother Houston? Iron was sharpening iron. Them boys wasn't bad boys. They had just done a bad thing. Somebody help me! They had done a bad thing. And you know what? They didn't just get to hear about forgiveness. They got to see it. Joseph took them in. Joseph was good to them. My mind is going a mile a minute right now. I just thought of another example. And that would have been David. After Saul, his arch enemy, died. You remember? Is there any left of the house of Jonathan? that I might, or any left of the house of Saul, I'm sorry, that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. I wish we could have Mephibosheth to walk in here tonight and sit him right here and interview him. You know what he would tell us happened? Iron was sharpening iron. David said, clear him out a place at the head of the table. He's going to eat bread at the king's table continually. I hope we can leave here tonight with this prayer on our heart and on our lips. God, help me to be able to help someone else be sharper than they are today. God, send me a friend like Nathan. Everybody thinks their friends are them that always tells them what they want to hear. No. Listen to me carefully. Your friend will tell you what you need to hear. That'll change the way you sing the song the next time you sing it, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Brother Wayne, Jesus don't always tell us what we want to hear. But He loves us so much, He will tell us what we need to hear. I'm just glad you come tonight. Now do you see why I didn't want to wait on that business meeting? Amen. I appreciate you coming. Let's ask God that iron might sharpen iron in our lives. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.